about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Okay, everyone, as you know, one of my favorite things is fanfare for its own sake. So without further ado, let's all start clapping.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
I've made promises to my superiors that I most certainly cannot keep. That's why I need you idiots to work twice as hard. No, strike that. 4 times as hard. No, strike that. I need you morons to work 8 times harder than you've ever worked in your entire life. I'm having a heart attack. Yeah, I'm having a heart attack. Get back to work.
And the answer that I think I always ask, and I'm sure it can't possibly be this simple, is stop it.
Listen to the kids, bro!
And now.
I know these guys are annoying, but that's all I got.
Yeah. Our feature presentation.
Yeah, there's really nothing to say after that.
Yes!
There it is.
Words.
Let's just go through the hook. Here. He was like 10, man. He didn't really have the mic technique down. This is the moment you've been waiting for, though, right, Allie?
Oh, so much.
Yeah, you were watching your calendar every day.
Two eyeballs.
There it is.
Yes.
All right, we'll play some more later, but there you go.
Come on. I need more.
It's October now. It's fair. It's legit. It's cool, right?
It's Thursday morning, the 1st of Rocktober.
I love Rocktober. Love it.
By the way, that two eyeballs, is that last year that we did the search for the song? Where we had people send in songs?
Was it last year?
The year before?
Or was it the year before? Chip, do you remember?
I think it was last year.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter because the point is that we went on this massive search for the best new song on Halloween, and then we forgot to play it. We didn't play it on Halloween.
When Halloween came around, yeah.
We played every other song.
Not that one. But we played it a bunch of times in the month of October.
If that makes you feel better, yes. But the whole goal was
to find a new Halloween classic. Yes. I know. Well, we'll talk a lot more about the majesty of Two Eyeballs in the weeks ahead, but I was very excited when I saw that it was official. It was October. It was here. It's that month. Sorry, Rocktober. I meant Rocktober. Hey, before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, and it's going to be a super good one today because we have one of our favorite bands of all time stopping by, let me start with this. By now, I think I don't think we even talked about it on the air, but by now, I think most people who have the internet have seen the video of the guy in Michigan who tried to kill a spider. He was filling up his gas tank, tried to kill a spider with an open flame. He used his lighter to try to kill a spider that was on his car. And, of course, what's the formula, Allie? I didn't do very well in school, but it's gasoline plus fire equals
boom.
Explosion.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
So that's what happened. I mean, basically set his car and the gas station on fire. And he admits it was a dumb move. He said he just wasn't thinking.
Really?
Hot take.
Dumb might be understated there. In that case.
Yeah. He said, I'm sorry. I didn't know. It was just one of those things that happened. It was just stupidity. They didn't charge him. They didn't charge him with any files, by the way. And the accident is being covered by the insurance. So it appears like he's just walked away from this thing, even though he did all that damage. But anyway, so I tell you that to say, look, how many times have we talked about spider stories over the years on this program? And I'm the voice of reason who says, don't be stupid, people. Yeah. A spider is not going to hurt you. Yeah. People have an unnatural fear of spiders.
Being strangely defensive, like really a little angry.
Well, because I'm using logic and
facts.
That's why. Because 99.999999% of the spiders in the world are not going to hurt you. In fact, they are beneficial for you and the environment. If you see a spider in your house and you kill it because it's in your house, you're a dick.
Here's what happened. Here's what happened. Last week, I killed a spider, and the first thought that came to my mind was, don't tell Bean. He'll really be angry.
But why would you kill a spider?
Because it was where I was living, and I didn't want it to be there.
Then put it outside.
Well, how? How?
It takes 15 seconds.
Here's spider, come in.
I pick up spiders and put them outside almost every day of my life. And you know
what? You put a collar on them and you name them as well. Well, and that's a little...
names. All right. Having said that, we can all agree that we're not killing any more spiders because killing spiders is stupid, right?
Well,
we're all on the same page.
We all heard you say that.
Having said that, and to prove my point, Jonathan Hogg, 40 years old from Britain, felt a small, sharp pain while on a Qatar Airways flight a couple of months ago. And it turned out that he was bitten on an airplane by a brown recluse spider.
Oh, brown recluse.
He almost lost his leg and nearly died. Within hours, the leg ballooned up and turned black. By the time he got to the hospital, it was bursting open.
I'm not going to get through this story if you add the music to every sentence.
If it needs it, I add it.
I can send you the photo, Allie, if you'd like to see what his leg looked like.
I'm good.
After they cut away a large part of it where the venom had eaten the flesh, what left resembled something of a horror film. He spent a month in the hospital in South Africa instead of being on vacation there as he had planned, undergoing three operations. Three operations and a skin graft, but 3 months on, he's still receiving medical treatment. He was on a plane. He said, I was struggling to get comfortable during the journey. I crossed my legs to get into a better position when I felt a sharp pain radiating into my left leg. I turned on the light and clearly saw a spider running across the floor before hearing two stewardesses screaming, "Spider."
Actual audio from the plane, by the way.
After an operation to remove the dead flesh, the man said he was horrified to see the damage. I knew something was wrong. I had no idea how bad it was until I spoke with the surgeon. He told me how close I came to losing my leg. I was stunned. It really hit home when they removed the bandages and I saw what was left of my leg. It resembled something from a horror film. And for that, you have nothing? Resembled something from a horror film. So my point is the takeaway here.
Your point is you were wrong all this time.
Is don't kill spiders because what are the chances the spider is going to hurt you? That's my whole point right there.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amico, shall we?
So you can't say what you don't know.
Okay. Okay, good. Dr. Drew's on the program today. As he is.
How many times do you need to know that this guy is a flaming liar?
Well, I don't think that's right.
Positive that Dr. Drew's a flaming liar.
Yeah, we'll see.
Jim Rome on the program today.
Who's leaving the NFL? It's a friggin' kangaroo court.
Our friend and comedian Gabriel Iglesias will be in studio.
I got nothing bad to say about Fluffy.
Okay.
And Garbage.
Garbage. What?
Garbage.
What?
Garbage.
What?
How much do we love that band?
Garbage.
So much.
All coming in, being interviewed, playing live this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock. It is 5:55.
Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Night. Got those tickets for you all day long today, including in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock for a Thursday morning. Now Ralph Garman steps in. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I know it's going to come as a shock to many of you, but beloved TV dad Bill Cosby apparently sexually assaults women.
There's more?
Yesterday, three new victims
were
announced at a news conference here in Los Angeles.
No.
Attorney Gloria Allred trotted out the women. Nearly 50 now in total. The latest victims, Pamela Abeta, a retired chauffeur who said she visited a Cosby Show producer in 1979 and was hoping to get a job with Playboy when she met Bill. They flew to Las Vegas to meet Cosby, who has significant pull with Playboy. The next day she went to dinner with Cosby, and then she said, I don't remember leaving the dinner show. Hmm. But when I came to, I was lying in Bill Cosby's bed, not my own room. And she said, I kept this to myself for so long because I believed it was my fault, which is tragic. Sharon Van Oort said she met Cosby in 1976 while working at a jazz club at the Redondo Beach Pier. Cosby offered to walk her to her car one night. Instead, they went for a couple drinks, and then the next thing she remembers, she was waking up in her car. And the former, a former Mrs. America, Lisa Christie, who was an 18-year-old exercise model when she met Bill, he attacked her in a Chicago hotel. She was able to fight him off, though. He didn't drug her. And he said, you owe me. You're never going to make it in this business unless you sleep with me, he said to her. So,
man,
these are just the latest details of an ongoing series of sexual assaults, which goes back decades and decades.
It's amazing. Ralph, I know we've talked about it before, and you've explained why these women felt they wouldn't be believed if they came forward against Bill Cosby, who was so famous. But it's amazing that we didn't know anything about this for so long. Yeah. All of the 60s, all of the 70s, all of the 80s, all of the 90s, the 2000s, until we finally heard about it in the 2010s.
I think it says a lot about the empowerment of women, especially victims of these type of assaults, which are known as acquaintance rapes. You know what I mean? There was so much shaming that went on for so many years of women who were accused of dressing inappropriately, or they must
drinking
have,
too much,
you must or... have asked for it, or you put yourself in that position. And like this woman said, she believed it was her fault, so she couldn't come forward. So,
well, I'm glad we're getting past that mindset.
Yeah, I agree. And Kevin, I'm sorry for you. I'm glad to see you here today. I didn't know if you were going to make it in or not.
Should I be sad?
Oh, you didn't know the news? I thought she would have told you.
What?
Bar Raffaelli got married.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster!
I'm relatively sure I called dibs.
Yeah, I remember you calling dibs.
Right?
Yeah, but...
Well, how did this happen then?
Businessman Adi Extra apparently did not honor your dibs call.
Well, that's not cool.
That's not gentlemanly at all.
Right. The two were married last week in Israel, so congratulations to
without
the
law,
lovely
it's all
couple,
chaos.
Right?
It's true, Kevin.
You should get your ass to Israel and
no
start,
kidding.
Start straightening some people out.
Yeah. I bet he's rich and good looking, though. I'll tell you that.
He is both of those things.
Yeah. So?
Not as much as Kevin, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, obviously.
And
plus dibs.
This one hurts too, right. Kevin. I'm sorry.
Oh,
remember
no.
Charlotte McKinney?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
I do.
From the Carl's Jr. commercials?
Yes,
she was
I
the
do.
Natural burger girl who would mm-hmm. walk around in the marketplace.
I remember her quite
all
well.
All natural. We had her in on the show.
Yeah,
she
sure did.
She was smart. She was a smart girl.
Bro. She was smart enough.
No.
She was smart as she needed to be.
Maybe for you, robot boy, but not for some of us. Anyway, she
what?
She's apparently with Scott Eastwood these days.
Oh.
That's yeah. That's a good catch right there.
Lucky.
Who, from what I've heard, is her intellectual equal on every level.
Oh, no.
But so am I.
That's true. Yeah, really. That's a match made in heaven right there, you two. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Brie Larson is 26 years old today. Zach Galifianakis celebrates his 46th birthday today.
He's on the list, Kevin, of the funniest people in the world, right?
I love him so much. I mean, not traditional stand-ups, I don't think, but yeah,
right.
he's the best.
My old NYPD Blue co-star, Isai Morales, celebrates his 53rd birthday.
Did you meet him, Ralph? That
no.
day you were there?
No, never met him.
Okay.
So, did you say my old friend?
I didn't say my friend.
Oh, I thought you said
I said my old NYPD Blue co-star.
All right.
Which is accurate.
Which is completely accurate.
All right,
you
take it easy.
Start some stuff?
I don't
Look,
know.
I'm sorry, Bar Raffaelli.
I'm upset
did
over
your
the rock.
Dibs.
Yeah.
But don't start attacking
right.
me.
It was misplaced.
Okay?
I apologize.
All right, then. And
somebody's going to pay, though. Here, today.
Isai was also the brother in La Bamba, wasn't he?
Richie! He's the one that yelled Richie when he died.
Okay.
That's one of the greatest... Whatever.
You're sorry, your impression was lost on me.
Even with my arms
spot
out?
On.
He sounded more. You sounded more like Potsy from Happy Days or something.
Richie.
You're like Joni. Getting angry at the dinner table at the Cunninghams.
Sit on it, Ralph.
And Randy Quaid Good old crazy Randy Quaid. We love Randy Quaid.
We do.
He's crazy.
We love crazy.
I hope he makes a new sex tape soon with the dogs barking in the background. His crazy wife. He is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations, Sharon Lopez. Thank you so much for listening, Sharon, from Mission Viejo. You have just won your way into something awesome now that it's October, Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough to say.
I feel like they wrote it that way just to trip us up.
It's possible. Your chance to win coming up throughout the day here on the Kevin and Bean Show and all day long at K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com. By the way, I know we're going to do something else here, but just real quick. I was listening to Icky Thump just now.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the caller a few days ago on Kevin Bean's What's Good who hates Jack White and was calling to say, how could anyone listen to Jack White? I just listened with a critical ear to that Icky Thump song. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Look, you know me too, Bean. I don't really like that style of music so much. It reminds me too much of the, 60s rock. But
yeah, it's too classic rocky, right.
But he's incredible.
He's incredible, yeah. Such a talent. But that is the kind of call we've been getting lately on What's Good, and it's been very, very interesting to have a segment of the show every day that we throw open to you, the Kevin and Bean listeners, so you can tell us what's going on, stuff that we should be talking about, where we're not, questions, comments. You can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067 on any topic. We'll put you on the air and talk about it. 1-800-520-1067. We had a caller yesterday, by the way, who wanted to tip us off to how good that new CBS show is, Limitless, which I took that caller's advice and watched it last night, and he was dead on.
That's really,
really, really good. Yeah, it's based on the movie that Bradley Cooper did a couple of years ago, and Bradley Cooper actually shows up in the pilot of this show, and it's really, really good. I'm very excited about that.
So I started watching Narcos for the same reason. What's good? Somebody called, said Narcos on Netflix. You should watch it. And I started watching it, and that's great as well.
Yep, 1-800-520-1067. Give us a call, and we'll put you on the air here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. All right, Rush Limbaugh back in the news. Kevin, what's going on?
I love Rush Limbaugh so much. Does anyone take him seriously?
Sadly, yes.
Yes.
A lot of people.
Until the last few years, he was the most listened to radio personality in the country, and he had millions and millions of people who hung on every word because Rush Limbaugh, you guys, is the only one telling the truth out there sometimes.
He said on his show on Monday that NASA's announcement of the discovery of flowing water on Mars is just to help the leftist agenda.
Yeah.
That's it. They're making it up. There's no proof of anything. They're just making it up.
Because you know how science can be twisted, Kevin.
Yeah. Here's Rush talking about it himself.
This news that there is flowing water on Mars is somehow going to find its way into a technique to advance the leftist agenda. Eons ago, ancient Mars had an extensive atmosphere along with an ocean two-thirds the size of our northern hemisphere and a mile deep. After an unknown catastrophe, Mars suffered a major climate change and lost its surface water. An unknown catastrophe.
Oh.
Unknown.
Right.
What's he saying?
Mars guys, the scientists said a catastrophic event related to climate change. It's a politically charged term. Climate, catastrophe, Mars. How does anybody know that? But this is absurd. Catastrophic event when nobody lives on Mars? Until they're going to tell us they did.
Yep.
And global climate change destroyed them. Don't rule it out, folks. We're dealing here with desperate leftists who will do anything to advance their agenda here on Earth.
We heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Rush Limbaugh calling out those lying scientists at NASA. Let's find out more with Mr. Limbaugh. He joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Rush.
Good morning, my friends. How are you?
Well, we're good.
Great, and it's great to have you on again. How you been?
I am excellent, and I am here to tell you the truth about the leftist agenda and the corruption of NASA by the Obama administration.
Okay, why don't you take at face value scientists telling us they have found evidence of water on Mars?
First of all, the lies, the endless lies. The ocean was a mile deep. How do they know? They're not there. They can't measure it. They don't have a yardstick that they can stick a mile times.
A mile-long yardstick?
Into the ground to see exactly how big it is. This is all guesswork and lies by the leftists to make us want to save the environment.
Okay,
and crazy things like that.
Why is that such a bad idea?
Because the environment doesn't need saving. Global warming is a myth, little lady. It doesn't exist.
Okay, You can argue that if you want. Most scientists disagree with you. But my point with you, Rush, is that scientists know a lot of things that happened when there weren't people around to see it. We know about the Ice Age, for instance, and we didn't have humans on Earth for that because we are able to dig down and take soil samples and learn things from what's left.
A catastrophic event on Mars?
Right.
How do we know it was catastrophic? Maybe it was awesome. Maybe it was a bitching event.
Look, we weren't there.
It was a miracle.
Right, but we weren't there to see...
Exactly, that's my point. We weren't there to see it, and there were no Martians there to see this event. This could have been the greatest event in the history of it. This could have been the Super Bowl of climate change for Martians. Martians could have been high-fiving each other when it happened because it was so righteous and rad.
I don't think scientists... Did a 65-year-old man just use the term rad?
Yep. I did, my friend.
I don't think scientists are saying what happened was good or bad. They're just talking about it from a factual standpoint, much the way we talk about how the Grand Canyon got formed by being hit with debris from outer space. We weren't there to see it, but we know what happened because we see the Grand Canyon.
We don't know what happened. It's a guess.
But it's a pretty good one.
But what if God put it there?
What if God is a guess?
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us.
Well, it's a good point.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know. And we're not NASA, which has been corrupted by the Obama administration. I mean, the next proof positive of this, the next mission Mars is undertaking is going to be a manned capsule to Kenya. Do we really need that? I mean, that's unnecessary. You can take a flight to Kenya.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that's true. I think you get your facts wrong on that one, Rush.
They are renaming Mars Muslimia.
I don't think that's true either.
These are the facts, my friend. You can put your head in the sand if you choose to.
These are not the facts, though.
But these are absolute facts. And mark my words, friends, the left is going to come forward and say, oh, we have to do something to protect our planet and to keep our environment healthier and cleaner. This is poppycock.
But don't you want to live on a planet that's cleaner and healthier?
Well, who's to say we're not making the planet better? Maybe the planet wants to be filthy and polluted.
You think the planet
is... Someone asked the planet. That's what I'm asking the question. Has anyone talked to the planet lately?
Probably not.
Well, I have, my friend.
You have.
Oh.
I have talked to the planet.
Uh-huh.
Hold on a second. Need to pop a few more OxyContin.
Oh,
after a few of these bad boys, the planet screams at me.
What a huge show we have for you today, including our friend Fluffy. Gabriel Iglesias is going to be joining us at 7 o'clock this morning talking about his new TV show, Fluffy Breaks Even. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we talk to Jim Rome, and the band Garbage is going to be here performing live. Been a long time since we've seen those guys. Love that band. Very excited. First, though, 1-800-520-1067.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067. I love you.
Thank you, Doe. It's a little feature we like to call What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, call up. So we could be down. 1-800-520-1067.
What's good indeed? Why don't we start in Montebello? This is going to be our friend Tim. He is on line three, and he's up first on the Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Miss Allie. How you guys doing?
Hi, Tim. Good.
What's up, dude? What are you doing up so early? This is crazy early for a human to be up and talking on the phone if he doesn't have to be.
Yes, it is, but I work for a hospital, so I got to be there about 7:30.
All right. Okay. But, all right, what can we do for you? What's good?
John Jones is lucky. 18 months of probation for what he did.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something wrong with our judicial system.
I was thinking about that yesterday, and I don't think I agree with you.
All right.
For folks who don't know, John Jones, who is a UFC fighter, was suspended and had to vacate his belt. He was involved in a hit-and-run accident where he T-boned a woman at an intersection in New Mexico and left the scene of the crime. And the woman was hurt. She broke her arm, but she's fine. Should someone go to jail for that terrible decision? I'd say no.
He left.
He left. Look, I'm not saying what he did was right or defensible, but I'm saying is that the level at which we should put people in prison?
I think you're looking at it being as she broke her arm, she's fine. But if she hit her head, She is now dying. He left the scene. Nobody mm-hmm. called. He's very lucky she just broke her arm.
He's lucky she broke her arm. I agree, but I'm arguing the facts of this case, not what could have happened but didn't. I'm asking, I'll ask you, Kevin, should someone be in prison for leaving the scene of an accident? Or is some other sentence more reasonable?
Death?
I think a more reasonable sentence would have been better.
What would you have liked to have seen happen if you don't like the fact that he got 18 months probation?
Actually, this is like his second or third offense with the
DUI. I don't know about that.
Yeah, John Jones has a long history of doing some stuff.
What about with the history, though, Bean? What about that?
DUI. I mean, I certainly would take that into account. I mean, at some point, those people need to be off the road. If this guy can't handle an automobile, now you are talking about something different. But are you glad he's going to be available to fight again? Are you happy about that, Andrew?
You mean like in April in New York? I'm sure Dana White's happy and the UFC's happy because he'll probably face the winner of this weekend's fight or Chris Weidman in New York in April.
That's what they're saying. All right, Tim, thanks for the call. We appreciate it very much. Where do you want to go next here, Kevin?
Let's see. Let's go to Julie, who is calling us from Santa Ana. Hey, Julie.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Allie, how's everyone this morning?
Great.
We're good. What's good with you?
What's good with me is I found out yesterday that I'm pregnant.
Yeah, or no.
Wait, is that...
Are we happy?
No, this...
Yay, what?
Very happy.
Very happy. Yay! Okay, yay!
Okay. I've been married for 3 years, and we've been trying for a couple months now, so it's great.
Oh, congratulations, Julie.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
So what else would you like us to say about that?
I don't know. I just wanted to call in and give my 2 cents.
That's fantastic. What I would suggest is that you turn the radio up near your baby for this next 9 months so that you can already be listening.
Oh, I'm sure it already is. I've been an avid Kevin and Bean listener for over 10 years
there
now.
There you go. You're doing the right thing.
I would ask you one more question, Julie, before you go. And you listened to the show, so you've heard us talk about this many times. Do you already have a super dumb hipster name picked out for your kid?
Maybe.
What is it?
It could be a unisex name. I really like Dylan.
I love Dylan.
Dylan's all right. Fine. I think it's nothing great. Wrong with Dylan.
We accept that.
I kind of chose it from, you know, Charlie's Angels, Drew Barrymore, when she was called Dylan. I love Drew Barrymore. So if it's a girl, I think Dylan would be a great name.
All right. I support it.
We will allow it. Thank you very much for the call, Dylan. We appreciate it very much. All right. Let's we got some good calls here. Let's go to Andrew,
that's
please, in Temecula.
Although I'm afraid.
I know.
What's going to happen?
Allie, shut up.
Andrew, hi.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's good?
So I think we can all agree that the Deflategate thing has gotten beaten to death, right?
Right.
Yes,
yep.
Very much so.
I heard on SportsCenter this morning that Roger Goodell is going to appeal the case, and the judge in the case won't be able to hear it until February, which is Super Bowl time.
Right.
And that means we're going to go a full year from Super Bowl to Super Bowl with this Deflategate thing being the main story. And the Patriots do actually look pretty good, so the chance they could be in the Super Bowl again.
Right.
And we'll still be talking about deflated football. And I was just going to see if you guys were as irritated with this as I am. I mean,
yes.
the Aaron Hernandez murder trial didn't get this much coverage.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. The world is irritated. Allie is right. And look, anytime Roger Goodell has a decision to make, he will make the wrong decision.
And
that's the one thing you can count on.
I am going to put it out there. The possibility of him saying at some point, let's just maybe forget this appeal.
Right.
It might
That's what
come,
I think.
Yeah, Thanksgiving-ish when no one's paying attention. Christmas, no one's paying
attention.
And
you could do that without admitting guilt. You could just
Absolutely.
Go, look, we believed it. We followed it up. It's not going to go anywhere.
We're going to drop it. Let's do it.
Can you just say, like, you know what? It's just not worth my time.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, not really. Like, you know, you just need to Let's take it up. Not even as a loss, just give it up.
Yeah.
If he's smart, he'll do it. But then talking about Goodell.
He's the worst commissioner in history. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's do one more. How about David in Rancho Cucamonga, line 8, please? David, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's good?
What's good?
What's good, guys? I just would like to talk about the show Code Black last night. Did you guys watch it?
It was on too late for me, but we're excited about it because we had Marcia Gay Harden on the program yesterday, and we love her. And this is a new emergency room drama, right?
Oh, man, it puts ER to shame. I
really?
To watch it. I had to wake up at 4 a.m. to feed the kid this morning, was watching it, feeding the baby, and it just made my day. I haven't gone back to sleep. I'm just like,
you were so pumped.
Not to watching the show. I'm just so excited about it. Can't wait till next week.
Are you also on meth?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But it just pumped me up this morning and everything, the way they did everything, the scenes, and the ending made me cry. It was awesome.
Wow, a roller coaster of emotion for David.
It is. Yes, tell me about it. The show's hardly ever done that to me except for Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, then I fed the baby, and then I watch TV, and then I sister, and then I call Kevin to meet.
I'm going to do this every Thursday morning, like I'm on meth. I've got to watch Cold Black. Let's do it.
Like you're on meth, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If you can imagine that.
I'm not watching Cold Black. You got to do it. So you guys got to go home. Do
all right, take it easy.
Lay down, David, lay down.
Holy crap.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
How do you guys spell milk?
How dare you?
It doesn't look right. How many M's in milk?
How dare you?
It is almost a fluffy time. Our friend Gabriel Iglesias joins us just after 7 here this morning on The Kevin and Bean Show. Garbage in the 8 o'clock hour. And when they're here, by the way, we're going to give away some tickets to go see them at The Greek next Thursday night as well. So all of that coming up on K-Rock.
Greek.
Ralph is here now with the Showbiz Beat for Thursday.
Ralph.
What's going on?
Yeah. The Greek is just a venue.
It's also a style, Kevin.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about here. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Now you separate the men from the boys in Greece?
Oh.
With a crowbar. Boom! Awooga! Wee! Wee! These are jokes, folks. I don't dance.
Ralph, your girlfriend's going to be here.
Don't I know it.
I'm just saying, you look awfully fresh today.
I'm just saying.
All cleaned up.
Kevin's already thinking about sending me out for breakfast.
Well, I mean, we don't want to be embarrassed.
We don't want an international incident when you see Shirley today for the first time in a while.
Oh, hello, Shirley. How are you doing? How's everything back in our homeland?
I'm going to say to her.
And Allie, you're not going to bring up your cockamamie theory that you two may be related, right?
We might be.
Which we tried to get going. Her mother, did you hear this, Ralph?
Oh, no.
Mother is a McKay. Same spelling, same everything, from the same area of Scotland.
Yeah, there's only a couple of those.
Well,
not many McKays in Scotland.
No,
just saying.
You related to Adam McKay?
No, he's M-C-K-A-Y.
Don't be ridiculous.
I wish I was.
That's right, it's the Irish, and you're the Mac. You're Mac. Right,
but don't embarrass us, and don't insist to Shirley that you two are sisters, okay?
I won't.
Shirley, she thinks that you're from the same part of Scotland that she is. But we know that's a wee bit silly, don't we, Shirley?
That's what I'm going to say to her. Speak to her in her native tongue.
That'll turn her on.
Let's give you something for still sticking with this show. I don't know why or how you've done it, but you're still here. God bless you. And we're going to have another of our annual K-Rock Good Times Blackjack tournaments at the Morongo Casino and Spa. It's a fun event. It's our third annual blackjack tournament there at Morongo, happening on October the 9th. It's a blast. You can enter for nothing. Just go to krock.com if you want to enter the tournament. You play tournament-style blackjack, and there's a chance that you could compete for $5,000 in prize money.
Good time.
But here's the real bonus. Here's the bonus. You get to play with the Morning Show Gang. That's right.
Is that a bonus?
Dave the K-Mexico's going to have a table. Beer Mike's going to have a table. Allie's going to have a table. And our own Kevin. Kevin, who will ask you how you spell blackjack, will be there at the table.
He is a dick.
Right. But still, he's going to be there, and if you'd like to play with him, I've got a seat at Kevin's table right now to give away. 1-800-520-1067. You will play with Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show at his table at the Good Times Blackjack Tournament, the Morongo Casino and Spa.
You don't want to be at my table.
On October the 9th. Call me now. Since 21's the magic number in blackjack, let's make it caller number 21. And again, if you don't win, don't despair, because you can still enter. Go to krock.com, and that's how you do that.
Will Glenda be there?
I don't know if Glenda has confirmed our RSVP yet. Wait and see. Yeah, it's available. You can get it now.
Yeah, it's available.
The new Honey Boo Boo video has dropped. Her new music video.
Didn't we all think that maybe she was gone for good?
We hoped that. But it's been a year since TLC took that show off the air, by the way. I can't believe it's been that long. You remember why they had to do that? Because Mama June's boyfriend touched the other daughter, remember? And went to jail for it. And then when he got out of jail, Mama June's like, Come Back to Mama.
Yeah.
Pedophile. Yeah. Yeah. Good times. See, aren't these hillbillies hilarious, America? Don't we just love to watch? Aren't they adorable? No. They're an effed up bunch of trailer dwellers. Cut them loose.
This video, by the way, I don't want to make fun of a little kid, but Honey Boo Boo is gaining on June, too, in the weight department.
You can see the future in this video.
Yeah.
You know that Honey Boo Boo is going to be sitting in a trailer 20 years from now, 400 pounds, smoking menthols.
Right.
I'm guessing cools. Just stuffing her face with cheese balls with all of the memorabilia hanging on the walls of who she used to be. And she's going to say, you know, I used to be on television. Y'all remember Honey Boo Boo? That was me. Can you pass me that bucket of chicken? I can't reach it no more.
And she'll have four or five kids from different fathers. Oh, she'll be trying to get them on a reality TV show.
Yeah, you see the future in this video. The song is called Moving Up. It's by a guy named Adam Barta. Adam Barta is a cancer on our society. He's a pox. This is the guy who keeps making songs with reality stars. Remember the Nadia Sulman, the Octomom song?
Oh, yeah.
That was him. He wrote that and co-starred with her on that.
Is this his niche?
This is his. He's like the Patrice Wilson. Remember the guy who does Chinese food and Friday and all those things?
Yeah.
What he does for pedophilia and children, this guy does for horrible reality stars. The Tan Mom song. Remember the Tan Mom song? That was this guy. Remember Jonah Falcon, the man with the largest penis? That song? That was this guy. So that's who the genius behind this piece of magic
is. So is it going to be good?
Oh, well, with a build-up like that, how could it not be? Here's a little of Alana Thompson, a.k.a. Honey Boo Boo's new song and music video, Moving Up.
I'm just a small-town girl, living in my princess world. When rainy days give me the blues, I break out my dancing shoes. Started out as a pageant queen, then on TV doing my thing.
You need more? I have more. I have almost a minute more. You need more?
Sweet Jesus.
Right.
Please,
just stop.
Tough to listen to.
Stop.
It's torture.
That piercing shrill, it's like a dentist needle in your ear.
That's so bad.
Come on.
That's not even trying.
No, but I bet that's as good as she gets.
But in a studio these days, couldn't you take whatever Honey Boo Boo gives you and you could manipulate it somehow electronically to sound better than that?
Yeah, I think they're going for this.
Maybe they did. Maybe that's it.
Maybe this is it.
That's augmented, sweetened, tuned. Everything.
He's got a headache now, and we listen to 30 seconds of it.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Hey, Alana, what chicken?
Just rapping, playing cars, and when I'm riding my bike.
Honey Boo Boo, where you going?
I love my mama, too. Don't forget your sister Pumpkin, too.
Had to make some music, so we came up with this little tune.
That's that guy, Adam Barta, by the way, who co-signs on everybody's song. He's always got a little piece for himself in there. Wow. This is his little attachment to fame, as he gets to live in their reflected glory. If you're riding Honey Boo Boo's coattails, take a long, hard look in the mirror, sir. Then break the mirror and take a shard from the mirror and just plunge it into your jugular.
Do the right thing.
Do the right thing.
Take yourself out.
Come on.
I got more if you...
No, I'm good.
All right.
All right, just a little bit more. Right.
Moving on. Everybody, join our body.
Do the Honey Boo Boo Bop.
Cruising on by. Celebrating, don't be hating.
Do the Honey Boo Boo Bop. Honey Boo Boo Bop. Do the Honey Boo Boo Bop. Honey Boo Boo Bop. Do the Honey Boo Boo Bop.
I think that's enough.
Yeah. Now I'm liking it. Now I'm grooving.
I think we've covered it now.
I'm going to ask Garbage to do that song.
Yeah.
Like a live. Just throw him a curveball and say, look, can you just do a cover? Can you do Moving Up by Honey Boo Boo?
We know that song.
Do the Honey Boo Boo Bop. Do the Honey Boo Boo Bop.
You know you don't have to talk to Shirley like that, right?
I will talk to her like that.
I know, but you don't have to.
Oh, Shirley, would you like some haggis? Or perhaps they can get you a wee bit of bagpipe music? She likes it. She feels at home.
Does she?
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Brie Larson's 26 years old today. Zach Galifianakis,
celebrates his 46th birthday. Isai Morales, the very talented actor, is 53. And Randy Quaid, old crazy Randy Quaid, is 65 years old today. Geez, I hope the Hollywood star hit squad isn't after him on his birthday. I hope they give him a day off. I know they're trying to hunt him down and snuff him out. But...
is he still hiding out in the forest in Canada
or
something?
Yeah, well, they're still trying to get him, Bean. There's a Hollywood death squad that's trying to take him out. And, of course, Warner Brothers stole his home out from under him.
That's right.
And Rupert Murdoch is trying to screw him over. He's got a solution for that, though.
So, Rupert, you want to f*** me? I'm going to f*** you. Evie, put this on.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll thank me for this.
Yeah. Nope. No. Okay. No. Do the Randy Quaid bop. Do the Randy Quaid. I'm waiting for his next hit single with Adam Bartha. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Fluffy will be here in a few minutes. Comic Gabriel Iglesias on his way into the K-Rock studios. Then we got Jim Rome at 8 o'clock talking sports. And then it's Garbage. 1 hour from right now, Garbage is going to be here. Interview and performing live. Very excited about that. It's all coming up on the Kevin Beach on K-Rock.
Right now, let's listen to the Afro line. We get calls from time to time. People can leave a message 24 hours a day. The number is 323-520-AFRO. This guy's just curious about some upcoming shows and if we have tickets.
I was just wondering if you guys are giving away tickets to see Broccoli Nipples and Dildo Factory Sandwich at the True. I love you.
We'll get back to you on that. Thank you, sir.
Really? What's good? What's good? More like, not good. Really? What the f*** are you guys doing? What are you doing?
How dare you?
I like that feature.
So he likes it.
I'm enjoying it, yeah.
He likes it as well, yeah. Not everybody that has to sit in traffic is happy about sitting in traffic. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people have to let off a little steam.
Hey, guy who stops, you know, 10 feet behind the person in front of you in traffic at the stop sign or stoplight. Hey, you stupid asshole. I hope you're the mother who gets stuck out in the intersection at the end when you could have made it all the way up if all the dumb mother in line would have just pulled up and used up all the space. But no, everybody's too busy thinking about what? Themselves and when they're going to get home to off. You people. God damn it. I hope you all die.
Brother needs a vacation.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, here's the thing. When I see a road rage incident on the news, I'm never surprised. I'm only surprised there aren't more of them. I think some of these traffic situations are just a powder keg. And I think a lot of people are where that guy's at, where they've just about had an ass full of it.
This guy is calling. I'm sorry, this girl is calling about the podcast.
Oh, my gosh. I can't find my iPod. I can't listen to the podcast. Oh, no. This is a close disaster.
I don't know. That didn't feel good. Did she pull it off?
I think any time Bean is quoted, it's a good day.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No?
We talk to RJ Bell a lot, and he gives us the odds and how to maybe make some money in Vegas or betting on football if you'd like to. You don't have to, certainly. This is one happy customer.
I lost my rent money because of RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Lost my rent money. Now I'm homeless because of RJ Bell. Thank you very much, RJ Bell.
All right, we'll talk to RJ about this tomorrow, but look, he wasn't going to stay undefeated forever. He was 3-0.
He said he was.
He didn't. He didn't say that. He said the opposite. He said, look, at some point I'm going to lose. But he was 3-0, and then he was 3-0, and then I think he was 1-2 last week, wasn't he, Allie?
Yeah, definitely lost with the Patriots.
I know
Patriots
he lost the Patriots one because of the spread. Yeah, I think he was 1-2 last week. We'll talk to him about it tomorrow. But he did warn everybody, look, you can't count on this. At the end of the season, he will be right more than he will be wrong, but there's no guarantees here.
People hear what they want to hear.
Last week, Bean, you put your wife on the air?
Yes.
Donna?
Yes, Donna was on because I discovered that she has been actively planning my funeral, and it sounded like she had more specifics than I was comfortable with.
Why is this not called the Kevin and Donna Show? She's 5,238 times funnier than Bean has ever been. Hey, Allie. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, I was with you until then.
Hey, guys.
Sorry, I get that a lot, by the way. Yeah, I hear that a lot.
Hey, guys, I'm listening to
Bean's wife calling in and talking about what she's going to do for Bean's funeral. But then I decided to Google her, and oh my God, Bean. Oh my God. She's hot. I just got one thing to say. Daddy likey.
Oh. Now do you get it, Bean?
Now I see why that's creepy.
Oh.
Wow. Please,
God,
sir.
I mean, look at her. Damn, she's hot.
Come on.
Oh, man, can you periscope her? Please? Damn.
All right, sir, that's enough. By the way, should I be insulted, Kevin, how frequently I hear people point out of my league she is? That's an insult to me, right?
You mean whenever anyone sees her?
Yes, whenever anyone sees her, they say, how did you end up, how did you get her?
It means you have a lot going on that people aren't aware of, though, because on the surface, you're a troll.
Oh, right.
That's what we're saying, right? So the positive spin is that there must be something positive, a redeeming factor that you can't see?
You can overcome your looks, Bean.
Okay. I just felt like it was a cash transaction is how I looked at it. And I'm fine with that.
Dude called back.
Hey, Bean, it's me again. Seriously, dude, your wife is hot.
All right.
Is she blind or something? She scored you. Oh, my God. The things I would do to her.
That's enough.
Oh, my God.
I would like him to call back and tell us the things he would do to
that
her.
That is
I would
plenty,
be very
sir.
Interested in that.
That's enough.
Am I the only one excited about Rocktober?
Which also means...
Hey, Kevin. Halloween spooks outside my window. That's right, motherfucker.
Dude, I know you hate it.
It's a terrible song.
So
it's October now.
So
I'd rather hear the Honey Boo Boo song.
You can't get away from Halloween Spooks. You can't get away from Two Eyeballs. I mean, it's here. It's happening. It's on.
Speaking of songs.
I have a request. There's some Ally McKay song that she sang. It was like a Taylor Swift parody thing. And I hate Taylor Swift, so I really was getting ready to hate that song. But Ally actually sounds pretty freaking hot in it. So turn me on and let's play that song.
Cause can't be the guy dumb. You know it's always like duh. You guys are so bad, it's awesome. Cause can't be the guy dumb.
Streaming services and Tidal and how that's going with that back rage.
We don't know. We can't wait to find out how that's going with that back rage.
I guess the guy meant backlash.
What is kale? Is that fish?
Panic at the motel.
Panic at the motel.
At the motel.
Panic at the disco.
And speaking of sports, we're going to talk to the Dodgers manager, Don Mattingly.
You try not to call him Dong when we get him on.
This is when we decided things are going south. Ralph chimped on the... He didn't spend money for an actual rope. Yes, I said chimp.
I didn't chimp on it.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
Wait, what?
Do you guys have to sort of feel... do you feel the emotion when you wrote it later when you're playing it? And that was a poorly asked question. Let me take that. Can I take that again?
They got mental problems.
Got up at 9, made my flight, came back sharp as a tack today.
It's just exciting to think about all the, you know, all the things that are going to,
as a result of...
It's exciting. You're right.
Like
excited.
I said.
That's a good point. Now I'm excited.
I wish I had a do-over on that sentence.
How do you top that?
One, I know.
He bagged groceries. Groceries.
He did what to her?
You heard.
That's how you top that.
You know what state in the union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
Massachusetts.
He's got vanilla ice on the loose. He's got a knife. But he's running. He's going to stab people.
Can he stab people?
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
I don't know. Vanilla let's find out. Let's investigate more. Why is vanilla ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of Screech.
You were confusing Vanilla Ice with the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here, because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
In a world of regular comedians,
there are five levels of fatness. There's big, healthy, husky, fluffy, and damn!
One man was bigger than them all.
For the record, I'm not fat. I'm fluffy.
His specials are loved by millions. Now, his adventure continues.
It is always a thrill when we welcome our friend Gabriel Iglesias back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Fluffy Breaks Even debuts tonight on the Fuse Network at 10 o'clock. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, Fluff?
My apologies for being late. I'm keeping it real. It was ugly on the corner.
Yeah. Not a problem, man. How you been? What's going on? Have we not seen you since April Foolishness?
Since April Foolishness.
Yes, is that possible? That was the last time we saw you?
Yeah. That was a crazy day. I remember I flew in from Vegas for that show. And then flew back to Vegas.
And then flew right out. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was crazy. Did the show early. You went on first or second?
Second. Very early.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then got back on a plane, went back to Vegas, and did comedy in Vegas that
night. Yeah, I was getting on stage probably the same time Ralphie Mae was getting on stage here in L.A.
Wow. That's crazy.
And well, you killed.
Thank you once again for doing that because you were incredible. And look, everybody who's seen Fluffy knows how great he is. But the sound effects are the thing that was the biggest surprise to me because you do them so well. I mean, that's a whole different set of skills that you have up there.
Great show.
We got a lot to talk to you about since the last time we saw you. First of all, you are playing Christmas Night at the Irvine Improv. Tickets are on sale now for that show. You are also just announced December 26th and 27th at the Microsoft Theater in downtown L.A. Tickets are going on sale for that tomorrow at, does it say what time? It just says tomorrow, Friday, October 2nd.
Yeah, it doesn't say what time.
Tickets on sale tomorrow. You can get your details at fluffyguide.com, and we'll give away some tickets in a few minutes. Let's talk TV, though, Fluff. You had your eye on this show that debuts tonight on Fuse for a long time.
I came up with the concept for this show December 30th of 2012. And the reason I know the exact date is because I still have the notes on my phone of when I wrote it out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you forget about it at any point in that time and then go back and go, oh, well, that was a great idea?
Well, I had always wanted to do that show. Yeah. It was just that my management team was like, no, it's not a good idea. Nobody was into it. And so finally, I said, listen, I'm doing this regardless. You just got to add cameras. So it's up to you. This is my life. This is the show. So whether there's cameras or not, I go,
So basically you're getting paid to go around the country and eat. I mean, that's really one of the most genius ideas a guy has ever come up with.
I think I'm getting paid to work out. That's the part I'm getting paid for. Yeah. I would pay for the food, no problem. It's the whole working out process.
Well, so explain the show because it's super interactive with your fans, with Twitter, with all of that, the way it leads into things.
Yeah. Well, the whole idea behind the show is that we're always on the road. We're on the road 46 weeks out of the year. We always got to find somewhere to eat, and we always got to find a way to burn it off because I don't want to gain the 110 pounds I lost back. So that's our thing. It's like, okay, we're going to go eat good, but we got to work out good too. So the premise is we go into a city, we tweet our fans, what's a good spot to go eat? A place that we might not know about. And if we see a certain name of a restaurant mentioned enough times in the feed, then we're like, that's where we got to go.
Yeah.
And then the following day, we're like, okay, fans, you helped us out on one, now help us out on the other. What's a great workout that might not be the norm here in town?
And then you don't get any. Seriously, a workout. Anyone?
People recommend some random things. I mean, for the first episode, they were talking about rock climbing. They were talking about hiking up in the mountains. There were, a regular gym. And then they brought up the idea behind pole fitness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're on a pole.
So first of all, one thing we learned from Ray Donovan this season is that Mexicans don't hike. First of all, we know that that's out. Yep.
We get found.
Right. Second of all, let's talk about this pole dancing for a second, because on the debut episode of Fluffy Breaks Even, which airs tonight on the Fuse channel, you do two things. One is you stuff your faces at the Heart Attack Grill, which is an unbelievable place. You can't believe that's real in America in the 21st century, right? And then you go pole dancing with an actual former stripper. What was her name, Fluffy? She had a crazy stripper name.
Oh, man.
Was it like Farnia or something?
Yeah.
Farnia. I know. It's a terrible name if that's it.
It was something like that.
Farnia.
Fania. That was it.
Yeah, Farnia sounds like a fart in Narnia, doesn't it?
And you
the
didn't
line
know,
broke wind.
You didn't know what to expect when you walked into this place, but I mean, it's a room full of stripper poles, but that looked like a tough workout.
It is an actual tough workout. I didn't take it serious in the beginning just because it's like, all I saw was a pole, and yeah, I'm like, okay, what am I going to spin around it? That's it. I don't see the fitness aspect of it. And sure enough, we started working out, and an hour later, we were all drenched.
With sweat.
Sorry.
Helping out. Okay.
Yeah, just clarification.
It's not like deja vu.
Who are your boys?
My buddy's on the show. One guy named Martin Moreno, who's been touring with me for the last 15 years, and the other's a comedian from San Antonio, Texas, named Rick Gutierrez. Both of them longtime friends, and we're currently on tour together.
These are your friends that you spend time with anyway, that you have seen the world with, and it's just you guys just like busted each other all the time.
I told him, I says, listen, guys, I've got the perfect show for us. I says, we're already doing this.
Yeah.
I says, all we got to do is go out and eat on a professional level, and the workouts are probably the only thing that's going to be really, really challenging. But the frustration behind the workouts is what makes it funny. You got to figure, one episode, we go out to the Orange County Fair, and we just stuff our faces with all this fried food.
Yep.
And the only way we find to work it off is we work out with Chuck Liddell at the UFC gym.
Oh,
so they put us through an entire UFC training session.
Oh, my God. Awesome. Are you still alive to talk about it?
Yeah, man. I hung in. And we sparred with UFC fighters at the end.
What?
So my buddy Rick.
You thinking, all right, fair, good, but is it worth Chuck Liddell? Maybe let's pick something else.
Well, it wasn't Chuck that we had to spar with. Actually, we sparred with two future Ronda Rouseys, but they had amazing kicks. My buddy Rick got his rib cracked by one of them.
Sweet.
With the kick?
Yeah, with a kick. She freaking popped him right in the face. Yeah.
Awesome.
And as it is, it's hard for him to breathe. So.
That is something else.
Did he say, hey, TV show here. Take it easy.
Nobody needs to get hurt.
Knock me out.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Gabriel Iglesias is here. The show is called Fluffy Breaks Even. That's also the name of the 2015 World Tour, by the way. See the show tonight at 10 on Fuse. More with Fluffy right after this on K-Rock. One of the most popular comedians in the world, Gabriel Iglesias, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, playing the Microsoft Theater on December 26th and 27th. By the way, we did the research. Fluffy, tickets are going on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. through AXS.com, AXS.com. We'll give away a pair of tickets right now to your choice of those dates at 1-800-520-1067 for caller 20. And it also includes an eat and greet with Fluffy himself. What are the eat and greets all about?
An eat and greet is a hang out with a bunch of fans at a restaurant before the show. So it's an eat and usually it's a meet and greet, but we involve food. So it's eat and greet. My agent came up with that term, I think.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the fans, because one of the senses that I got from watching your show that airs tonight on Fuse is how genuinely, sincerely you, A, love the fans, B, thank the fans, and C, interact with the fans. I mean, you are as accessible as any famous guy I know of.
It's only a matter of time before I go down.
One tweet can sink you.
That's it. That's scary to know that one tweet can kill an 18-year career.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the business you're in. But I mean, tell me about that. I mean, you know, on the show, your fans are giving you guidance on where to go to eat, where to go to work out, and then they meet you there. And I mean, you, like I say, that's very rare with stars of your fame. Tell me how it ended up being that way for you, like where you would
I think
be
that's
so
been
accessible.
That's been the case since day one. You know, I was always doing the shows at the Improvs, and after the show was over, I'd always stick around and do meet and greets with everybody. And it was easy to do back then when it was 300 people versus the theaters, which then jumped from 300 to 1,200 to 1,500 to arenas to where it's, you know, 5 to 10,000. So now it's the meetings are a little bit more challenging. But
it's a lot of eating.
It's a lot of 10, eating.
10,000 people. That's probably not going to be good.
But the cool part with the show is that it is very fan-friendly. So I think we're going to do good because I'm doing what the fans want. I'm giving them options, and I'm basically letting them choose the adventure for me.
Right. Let's talk about the Heart Attack Grill, because we do see that on tonight. And that place is crazy.
It's so delicious, though. You could eat the fries without chewing them because they're that greasy.
Yeah.
I love that you walk in and they literally put a gown on you, a hospital gown.
A hospital gown. The idea behind the restaurant is the guy says, you know what? Fast food restaurants are always lying to you because I'm the only one that'll be honest with you.
Right.
That's why I say this restaurant's like a pack of cigarettes with a giant warning label at the front before you walk in. Then they weigh you, and if you happen to weigh over 350 pounds, your meal is free. So you could eat there. Every day for free if you weigh over 350.
Now, when you did that,
no,
you were disappointed.
No. I was actually excited that I didn't get the free meal.
But if you ate there often enough, you would get the free meal.
I guarantee you, yeah. Let me go there for
such
a couple
a
weeks.
Weird thing to have to weigh yourself before you go eat.
It's a giant scale, too, right in the front. You know, like one of those airport ones for your luggage.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bigger than a luggage scale. Yeah.
It's huge.
I love that the waitress, and we got to talk about the waitresses, but I love what a commercial this has turned into for the Heart Attack Grill in Vegas. But I love that the waitresses say, don't even bother asking for diet soda, by the way. We don't believe in diet soda.
Yeah. They want you to have everything in its at its full potential.
And they're hot and dressed as nurses, so that helps.
And they have this little thing where if you don't finish your meal, they bend you over and they hit you with a paddle. It looks hot, but you don't want to be on the receiving end of that.
Really?
Oh, no.
It's not hot? It's not
hot. Some of your crew got that. They bring out a little person in a nurse's outfit who just wallops on them. I mean, it's what an experience this place is.
It's really, really awesome. And unfortunately, we were sober for the whole thing. I think if we would have been buzzed, it would have been more fun. But, you know, the directors don't like that.
Oh, the directors.
What do they know? I want to ask you about another. I think we'll see this later on Fluffy Breaks Even. You was it the Army you worked out with, or the Marines, or you went someplace where you actually handled real weapons? Right?
We did a zombie apocalypse training camp. So, and it's an actual workout that they training that they put you through. So you got to push trucks, you're flipping tires, you're firing assault rifles, you're running with assault rifles, you're crawling under barbed wire, and so you're all fatigued out with the gear.
Oh my!
It's really, really cool. And then at the end, when we're firing rifles, a bunch of the shells went down the back of my neck, and I got burned. So I got scars on my back from the bullets.
Yeah, I was shooting guns. A couple of scars. No big deal.
No big deal.
Zombie apocalypse. If the zombie apocalypse happens, I want to be with you.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm
so trained.
Ready.
Yeah, you've had the training.
That's right.
Were you nervous? Was that something you were comfortable doing, is shooting rifles at targets?
I fired rifles a lot back in the day. I won't say why.
Monkeys?
Fluffy got toughy. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. My buddy Martin, actually, it was the first time he had fired an assault rifle, and he got all scar-faced towards the end, which is why the shells wound up back behind my neck.
Right. Fluffy Breaks Even debuts tonight at 10 on Fuse. They're showing the Fluffy movie ahead of that. And I got to ask you about stand-up. There is a point at which you don't want to get any bigger, right, in terms of the audiences that you're playing for. I mean, you don't ever want to be playing something bigger than an arena, right?
I saw Kevin Hart's latest special. I was there for the taping of that, the filming of that, in Philadelphia.
He did it at the stadium,
football
there, right?
Stadium, 53,000 people. And granted, I had really, really good seats, and so it was okay for me. But I can only imagine what it would have been like to watch it, you know, from three blocks away up in the bleachers.
Right, getting that joke the next day.
Yeah, I think you lose a little bit of the connection, even though you've got the giant screen. So at some point, it does become a little bit of a, you know, like, we should probably try to keep it at a certain level. But I give the man full credit for doing that. Nobody's ever going to do that again. I don't think I'd ever want to try that.
What's the biggest? Insane. I think MSG, you were going there after.
I played Madison Square Garden. That, for me, has been the most iconic place that I've performed. That and the Sydney Opera House in Australia. So those two were the biggies for me.
Do you ever think, Fluffy, and you're a guy who I think has managed to stay in touch with your roots, but do you ever think how crazy it is that you walk out onto that stage at Madison Square Garden and you're as comfortable as you used to be when you walked out on stage at the Improv? I mean, to you, it's just a little room now.
You know, for that one, I'm not going to lie. I got butterflies for MSG just because of the pressure behind it. I mean, I've watched wrestling events there. I've seen Madison Square Garden in 100 different movies, you know, all the things that have happened there over the years. And it's like, wow. And,
so it's sort of like you don't want to ruin it.
I was nervous, which was pretty cool because very rare do I get all worked up anymore. So MSG definitely brought it out of me.
So what goals do you have left as a comedian?
I think first of all, to keep what I have. I'd like it very much if I just kept everything I got going right now. That'd be awesome. I'm also trying to produce other comedians. I think no one's tried to do that yet, especially at this level where I can make things happen.
Why has no one done that? That seems like a given.
I don't know, man. I'd like to be the Jay-Z of comedy, or Diddy, or these guys just producing other comics. I've produced about 4 specials already for other comedians, and I'm going to start doing stuff on what is it? Satellite?
Yes.
Sure.
Having my own show on Satellite.
Okay, good. Uh-huh. And how about in the acting world? You've had so much success with the Magic Mike movies, and you're on Cristela, obviously. What do you want to do next in terms of
I think there's a sitcom coming.
Good Lord.
There's a sitcom coming. I got to try it.
And I bet you'll
once.
Wear your own clothes again.
Like you do.
That was pretty awesome.
Fluffy doesn't believe in wardrobe, by the way.
Yeah. I just showed up dressed, and they were like, okay, I guess that works. Yeah. It was awesome working on that show, by the way. I got good parking and food, and just everybody was super nice to me.
I think a lot of Fluffy's decisions are based on how good the food is. Don't you guys?
He just said good parking and good food were the first two things
mentioned.
I support that. Yeah,
I support that as well. Mm-hmm. All right. Fluffy breaks even tonight on Fuse at 10 o'clock. The show is very funny, you guys. Just seeing Fluffy in his real environment. I mean, there's no script on this thing. It's just you hanging out with your friends, just doing stuff, which is kind of cool. So if you love Fluffy and want to see what that's like all up close and personal, check out the show. Fluffy Breaks Even World Tour coming to the Microsoft Theater downtown LA on the 26th and 27th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10. Go to access.com. Fluffy, we love you, man. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much. Take a breath.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
That guy just said shouldn't talk about it. You're not supposed to talk about it.
That is his song.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry. We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up just after 8 like we do every Thursday morning. And then the return of one of K-Rock's all-time great bands, Garbage, will be here for an interview and performance in the 8 o'clock hour. Very excited about that. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Oh, I can't wait for Garbage to come on the radio and play all their music. They've got some great songs, and all of their music is excellent. I love hearing it so much.
Just by the way, Shirley in the other room, so she feels like she's at home.
That's nice.
Thanks. Can you guys believe that it has been over 20 years since Garbage debuted?
No.
No, that's insane.
I can, because I just read it here in this information packet they gave us.
He's saying it doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't feel like 20 years
ago. You call them lying? You think they're liars?
No, I'm not saying
it's not over 20 years. They told us it was over 20 years. What?
It's just gone by fast. That's all I'm saying.
Why are you so suspicious of how long it's been since the band's been together?
Please don't come in and do that.
I'm going to talk to Shelley Manson like this for the remainder of the day. Gonna give her my bagpipes.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, but I don't like it.
I do know.
Give
what
her
you mean
a
by that.
Little haggis. The wee bit of heather too is from the moors outside the castle.
Oh. Your knowledge of Scotland is terrifying.
They have castles there, and they have heather
do,
there,
and more.
So
you're
pipe
right.
Down.
Oh, pipe.
All right. Tom Cruise is having a clearance sale. Everything must go. He stocks them deep and sells them cheap, this Cruise kid.
What's he selling?
Properties.
Oh.
Just sold his Hollywood Hills mansion. That went for under $1.6 million under the asking price. So apparently he's looking to move. He's looking to move some product. He doesn't care if he takes a little bit of a bath. So you might want to get in on his next house that he's selling off. This guy has a bean level of homes. That's how many houses this guy has.
Hey, Ralph, why is he selling all these houses? Has he received word that the spaceship is coming to take him to his home planet?
Maybe Xenu's coming, and he's got to.
Doesn't need residences on Earth anymore.
He's got to ready the warheads. He's got a Bel Air mansion in the fashionable Bel Air neighborhood of Los Angeles. If you'd like to pick that up, that's a budget friendly little number.
Okay, how much?
I don't know. You tell me. What do you think his mansion in Bel Air is going for? The asking price. Now, once again, the other house in the Hollywood Hills went for $1.6 under the asking. But what's the asking on his Bel Air mansion?
$8 million.
Oh, Bel Air? No.
$4
million. No!
Oh, the other way.
Yeah.
Going the
$20
wrong
million.
Way. $50 million.
Come on!
For his mansion.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Come
on!
$50 million. That's American dollars.
Wow.
Look, I know a property is worth whatever you can get someone to pay, but I can't imagine what you would need in a property to be worth $50 million to you.
You don't know, man.
Honestly.
Right, but that's because...
What makes it worth $50 million?
That's because to you that's a stupid number, but to people who have like $500 million, they're like, all right, yeah, 50, sure.
Yeah, sure.
No worries.
But what's in that house to justify? It's got to be more than location. What's in that house to justify?
The Phaetons are in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All the scrolls. All of Elrond's scrolls are there.
All right.
The magic book.
Magic book.
Book of magic spells that makes you never age. Cures dyslexia.
All right, if those types of things are in there, now it makes sense. Because I'm just thinking, look, no matter how many bedrooms and bathrooms it has, no matter how nice the sauna is and the swimming pool and the gym, there's only so many features that you can put in a house. And I can't think of enough of them to add up to something that would be worth $50 million.
Well, then your imagination is stifled. Because I
apparently
imagine,
so.
I imagine hot and cold running hookers coming out of the tap.
Well, now we're talking.
They come out of the tap?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, sure.
They're flexible.
Sad news. British filmmaker John Guillermin has passed away. Very talented director. Gave us a couple classics. Death on the Nile, one of my favorites. That's an Agatha Christie film.
Sure.
The Blue Max. Towering Inferno, one of the great disaster films of all time. The Towering Inferno. About a giant high-rise building that caught fire.
Yeah.
It was a towering
inferno.
Yeah.
Is what it was.
Right.
You couldn't imagine the star power of that film back in the late 70s when it was made. You've got Steve McQueen, Paul Newman, O.J. Simpson, Fred Astaire. I mean, it was the oddest cast of famous people you'd ever want to see. But
and they all happened to be in that building when it caught fire.
Well, because it was the grand opening of that building.
Ah.
And they had a very special celebratory event on the top floor. Bad timing for them to cheap on the wiring. And there was an electrical fire, and then things went bad after that.
You're still talking about towering.
And he also gave us King Kong, which introduced us to a lovely young model who had no acting experience, who became King Kong's subject of King Kong's affection. The object
Ariana
of
Grande?
Affection. Not Ariana Grande at all. A young lady by the name of Jessica Lange.
Wow.
Yeah. So, if you've ever seen King Kong from the 70s, you need to watch it because it is some effed up stuff right there. Kong gives her a bath at some point and then holds her in his hand and blows on her to blow dry her. And she's like, ugh. She gets all turned on by it and Kong smiles at the end. It's a weird film.
Anything goes in the 70s.
I recommend it if you're high. It's very entertaining. That's my tip for today. Kim Kolciak, once back on Dancing with the Stars. You may or may not know that last week she suffered a little bit of a stroke.
What?
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had a stroke last week, and she was eliminated because under the show's competition rules, if you can't physically perform on the show, you will be eliminated. And that was the case. You know, when you have a stroke, it's hard to do the foxtrot right after the stroke.
Right.
So she says she's better now and she wants back in. I want back in, she said. And as of this morning, there are 22,209 signatures on a petition to allow her to go back to compete.
God.
Is this what people care about now? Who's on dancing? Who's allowed to dance on the Dancing with the Stars show?
I don't know.
Who is this person?
She's one of the Real Housewives of somewhere.
Oh.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really follow the Housewives. But. And Bob Saget is set to guest star with John Stamos on his new show, Grandfathered. He'll be coming back as the same character from the series pilot. Apparently, his character will be returning. Boy, Saget and Stamos sure like to do things together, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Sure do.
This may come as a shock, but Dave Coulier is also signed up to make an appearance on the series if it lasts more than a couple. But it probably will, because I'm sure it's fine.
It's nice that they're all still friends after all these years.
That is nice.
I mean, look how much Ralph insists that Kevin and Bean are part of every acting job he has.
Oh. That's sad.
Yeah. Look, if you guys could act, I'd absolutely invite you to come play.
You're making the right decision,
but you've seen our work.
I've seen your work, and it's just I can't inflict that on people who are professionals.
I don't blame you.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Brie Larson's 26 years old today. Zach Galifianakis celebrates his 46th birthday. Isai Morales celebrates his 53rd birthday. And Randy Quaid, good old crazy Randy Quaid, brother, of course, of Dennis. Used to be a fine actor. Until he lost his mind.
Went crazy. Yeah.
Now he just works on growing his beard and having weird sex with his wife while the dog barks in the back at the Motel 6. I'm not.
It sounds like he's making that stuff up.
No.
But he's not
this
at all.
Is for reals, people. And he's got a problem with Rupert Murdoch, the head of Fox Corporation, because he thinks Rupert stole some money from him because he didn't get some profits from Independence Day. It's a long, sordid
tale, but at least he goes about it reasonably. He usually gets back at Rupert Murdoch by having his wife, Evie, put on a Rupert Murdoch mask and then having a degrading sex with her, which is how you really, if you're going to attack a corporation, that's how you do
it. It'll take him right down.
So, Rupert, you want to f*** me? I'm going to f*** you. Evie, put this on. Maybe you'll thank me for this.
Yeah, all right. There's a little Randy Quaid spit to get your morning
going. That was aggressive.
Somebody's married to him. Yeah. And has to put on a mask of...
By the way, he's the sane one. He's the sane one in the relationship. So
really?
That's all you need to know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
The band Garbage will be here in the studios with us on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 15 minutes or so for an interview and a live performance. First, though, our friend Jim Rome is on the line. Of course, you can hear him from 9 till noon on AM 980, The Beast. Every weekday, also look for his shows on Showtime. Mr. Rome, how are you, sir?
Garbage in studio, for real?
Yep. Right, I love
that. Oh, that is so good. That is so good. I love those guys.
Jim, we got so much we want to talk to you about. I don't even know where you want to start, but I guess we should talk baseball just because we're getting into the playoffs. Final weekend of the regular season. We still don't know many of the teams that are going to be in the playoffs on the American League side. How are you feeling about the Angels' chances? They certainly have gotten hot at the right time near the end of the season. Are they looking good to you?
They look pretty good. That's the biggest thing. They're playing their best when it matters most, and they've got four with the team they're chasing, Texas and Arlington, starting tonight. So not only do they have a good look at the postseason, they could still rip that division, and even if they can't run down Texas, they still control their own destiny, so they are trending up. Houston's going the other way. The Angels should get in. And I think that once they do get in, the American League's wide open. I would say they've got as good a shot as anybody not named Toronto. So they get in. The Dodgers get in. Things are pretty good in SoCal right now.
Yeah, indeed. And speaking of the Dodgers, there have been some questions of the manager Don Mattingly's decision to rest some of the players to not play for home field advantage when their series opens against the Mets. A lot of people are criticizing him for that, but he's saying, look, I'm just trying to save my resources for the playoffs when it matters. What say you?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I mean, I'm a Don Mattingly guy, and I can see why he's doing that, but the fact is they're not a good road team. I mean, they're really a bad road team. Of the teams that are going to make the postseason, they're the worst road team there is, and they've been bad in the postseason on the road. You know, so part of me says, they keep saying we're different this year, it's different, but if they don't get that home field advantage against a Mets team that is deep, maybe nothing changes. So I think that's a dicey, dicey proposition. They need that home field.
I feel like home field in other sports, in home ice, in hockey, NBA, doesn't mean much sometimes. It just doesn't really make that big a difference. It does in baseball?
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't, but it does to these guys. I mean, they're just not the same team. Fact, they're not the same team on the road as they are at home. But, you know, the bottom line, they wrapped up the NL West, which is good. Except when you spend $300 million on your roster, more dough than any team in American sports history, you better win your division. And in fact, you better do a hell of a lot more than that. Because if they go one and done like they were last year, that's going to be just enough to get somebody fired.
And the one criticism of the team has been that two pitchers is not enough to go deep into the playoffs. They're going to need some breaks. They're going to need a lot of offense. If you had to guess, Jim, and I know you're not a betting man, how far do you see the Dodgers going against a very tough National League?
It's a really good question. I mean, you look at the 1-2 punch they have of Kershaw and Zach Greinke, and you think they'd be fine. But the fact is, Kershaw has never really pitched very well in the postseason. So that 1-2 punch may not be what it appears. And even though you can shorten up your rotation, you've got to get something from 3, 4, and 5. I mean, at some point you have to. And I don't trust any of those guys once you get beyond the big two. So my feeling is they can't go one and done, but it would not be surprising to me at all if the Mets got them in the first round. They're deeper, they're tough, and especially if they play in New York, it could happen again.
I agree. And by the way, not just your starting pitchers, the Dodgers have not had a very consistent bullpen this season either, which is obviously very important when you get to the playoffs. All right, so that's baseball. Let's switch gears to Thursday night football. I asked you last week if that was the worst Thursday night matchup we were going to see all year, and you said probably not. Well, how about tonight? How do you feel about
this? This is a little better. This is a little better. Steelers, Ravens, you know, it's kind of a lame cliche, but it's true. You are what your record says you are. Except if you're the Ravens. They're 0-3, and I think they're better than the record says. And don't get it twisted. They've got some real issues, but they're playing for their entire season tonight. That makes them dangerous. You've got Mike Vick stepping in for Ben Roethlisberger with more weapons than he's had at any point in his career, but the dude's 35. He's had a short week to prepare. He's got a hungry, desperate Ravens team. I actually kind of like this game tonight. I think we get either an A or an F, and that's all you can ever ask for. So this game is definitely better than last week and not the worst we're going to see.
Mike Vick has only been a Pittsburgh Steeler for 1 month, by the way, and here he is starting on national television tonight. He had a little bit of time, quite a bit of time off in the last few years of his career as well, right? He's not exactly a well-oiled athlete at this point.
No, he's not. He's not. But he did play last year, and he got some time in. Didn't look great last year. In fact, didn't look very good at all last year. But the thing about Vick is he's 35, and he's not that guy that he used to be, like Michael Jordan in cleats. Now he's smart. He's savvy. He's a vet. And the guy's got weapons. All he has to do is turn and give the ball to Le'Veon Bell or get out and throw a quick pass to Antonio Brown and let him do what he does in space. So what I'm saying is this guy doesn't have to do a whole lot. He's smart. He's a vet. As long as he doesn't do anything to hurt them, they've got a shot of keeping it together until Roethlisberger gets back.
Is it easy for a quarterback to come in and learn the entire offensive scheme?
No. No, it's not. It's not. And that's why I like the Ravens tonight. It's not easy to do that. But again, the guy's pretty sharp, and they'll rip some pages out of the playbook. They're not looking for this guy to be the freak and to win that game all by himself. So as long as he stays down, they simplify things. He's seen a lot of things and done a lot of things. I think he'll be all right in that regard. I just don't think he's going to win tonight.
The Jim Rome Show airs 9 to noon, Monday through Friday on AM 980 The Beast. Of course, you can look for Jim Rome new episodes on Showtime every month as well. Thanks so much for coming on, Jim. We'll talk to you next week. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, man.
They've been together since 1993, formed in the beautiful town of Madison, Wisconsin. 1995, their debut album came out. Since then, it's been 17 million records sold, and they've toured the world. Ladies and gentlemen, always a pleasure to have back at K-Rock, Garbage!
I thought you were going to say 17 million years.
It feels like that, I think.
Does it feel since like 17 then, million years?
Since then, it's been
something like that.
All right, let's identify for the kids listening
hold
at home.
Hold on. Shirley?
She's not authorized to touch the bell.
Shirley, have you taken the bell course? Safety course?
I don't need the safety course for the bell.
We don't let anyone just ring the bell.
You don't
except
just
you.
Eat me.
You don't just jump in a car and start driving until Dad has shown you what's what.
Yes,
come
I
on.
Do. I've done that my whole life. It hasn't done all me any harm.
Take the bell away from me.
Something better. Take this bell away. Seriously, I can feel that I'll just abuse it.
Yeah.
Who's in the room for the kids listening at home? Who's here today?
Duke.
Butch.
Steve.
Shirley.
Wow. Got the whole band.
All of us.
Four.
All
sweet.
Of
whole band.
All right. We got a lot of ground we got to cover in just a few minutes, and the band is going to be performing live in a little bit, too. Let's take it back to the beginning, Butch, and I think this is a question for you. What's going on in Madison, Wisconsin in 1993 that makes you think, hey, it's time to make a band?
Well, you know, by the time I had started Garbage with my bandmates here, I think I had probably done 1,000 punk rock records. And this is before Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins. And I was just getting tired of bass guitars and drums. And Steve brought in a Public Enemy record one day, and I listened to it. And to me, that was like one of the most exciting albums I'd ever heard because they were using samplers. It just sounded crazy. So we bought some samplers, and Duke and I and Steve started doing remixes, and that sensibility sort of inspired us to start Garbage.
So you knew these guys, you knew Steve, you knew Duke, and had known them for a long time, and then you decided, let's really ruin this and bring a girl in.
Hey!
Right, we're having so much fun, but how could we... Hey! was your vision from the beginning always that you would have a lady singer?
Yeah, I mean, we thought that would be cool from the get-go, just because...
Why? Because ladies are cool.
Yeah, and we've always been in bands with dudes, you know, so...
We're going to have to move the bell.
Just like, let's change it
so are girls.
Tell us about, if I recall correctly, you weren't thrilled with your audition? Or you hated it, or you...
Yeah, it was a bit
nervous,
of a
too nervous? Or?
Fiasco.
She hated us. Fiasco's
pretty bad. I hated them, and they hated me. No, we just didn't click that day for a lot of different reasons, but we sure did click later on.
Yes, you did. Now there's the bell. What's wrong with
you? I was going to do the bell, but I saw that you were very upset that I was abusing the bell.
I'm not really upset.
Shirley, what did you think? What did you think when you met the guys and you guys said, "Hey, what do you want to do? You want to do this or not?" Was it something that was automatically easy for you to say yes to, or is it something you were kind of unsure about waiting into?
I thought they were the best bunch looking dudes I'd ever met in my life, but I signed up immediately.
Musically, though, you guys all spoke the same language.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, we got on really well immediately, and we had a good chemistry right from the start, and I don't know, the gods were with us, and we just enjoyed something
sort of magical in a funny way. The whole ascent of our band was really blessed. Like, we were all in good health, nobody died, there weren't any terrible accidents. You know,
like,
it was
nobody
really
died is one of the things that you're lucky.
Yeah,
that keeps the band going.
It sure does.
But we are going. But we're about to go on tour, so who knows?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Part of the reason you guys are here today, and this is the band Garbage in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, is that you are doing this 20 years queer tour to celebrate the 20th anniversary of your debut album. And when you play the Greek 1 week from tonight on October 8th, you'll be performing this entire album, right? And then other Garbage songs from the catalog.
Yes, we are going to play all the songs from the Garbage debut album and all the B-sides. There's 9 or 10 or 11 possibly, I can't remember.
Easy.
But we're going to do them all. And it's going to be an interesting night. It's going to be fun.
I read someplace that you were super, probably all of you used to pay a lot more attention to critics and people who would tell you whether you were good or bad, and it would hurt your feelings. Is that difficult, and are you better at it now? Just ignoring
it? Yeah,
I've
stopped giving a... But,
I like it.
Definitely when I was... coming out, you know, I was coming from a place of, I met those three gents in my band and they were very accomplished and I was really intimidated
really?
By that. Yeah. And
thanks. That's her memory.
That was my memory. And little did I know the truth behind it all, of course. But no, I was in seriousness, I was very intimidated by their musicality and their reputations and so on and so forth. And I didn't feel I was good enough to be doing what I was doing. And so, yeah, whenever I would read a good review, I'd just go, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. Whenever I read a bad review, I'd really take it to heart. And I would say, see, they're right. What my inner voice, my evil inner voice is right. I mean, it's really sick. I think a lot of people do that, actually. I don't think I'm the only one.
That's a tough way to live.
It's really tough. I mean, it was that whole album cycle was hard for me because of that, you know. I mean, luckily, those three were always like, don't worry about it. Let's just have a beer. Forget about it. So well, I was lucky that I had those three to sort of keep me balanced. Otherwise, I'm sure I would have gone off the rails.
Was there a point where you just said, I'm not going to listen to that, read that?
Mm-hmm. It was when I read something. Now, this was much later on. This was probably by our third record. Somebody wrote something about me looking fat and I'd looked like I'd been eating too many Twinkies. And I called my dad up in Edinburgh, Scotland, and he said, you know, it serves you right for trying to look for affirmation, you know, in the media. You know better than that. Stop doing that. Stop reading about yourself. Grow up. And from then on, actually, I think I started just weaning myself off reading about myself.
Off of Twinkies.
Did he say...
the Twinkies, too.
Did your dad say eat fewer Twinkies as well?
No, he didn't.
Not at all.
He was all for me eating lots of Twinkies.
All right, we got to take a quick break. The band Garbage is here. Their show is next Thursday night, 1 week from tonight at The Greek. It's the Garbage 20 Years Queer Tour in celebration of the 20-year anniversary just passed in August of the first album coming out from the band. More with our guest and they'll be performing live coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Yay!
Attention, Garbage fans.
It's the 20th anniversary of our debut album,
Garbage.
We're going on tour this fall to play a handful of shows.
In celebration!
We'll be playing the entire record
front to back!
For the first time
ever!
We hope all our fans will come join with us.
To celebrate!
Well done.
Garbage, 20 years queer.
What are you guys doing?
Well
what
done.
What nonsense is that? Seriously.
That is a load of nonsense, it's true. But we had a lot of fun doing it.
Garbage is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Shirley and Steve and Duke and Bidge.
Butch. That's a good new name for you, Bidge.
I like it. They are back and in town playing at the Greek.
Your phrase has been coined.
1 week from today. Why did you make the decision to do what you're doing, which is to play this album from front to back at the shows on the tour this time around, rather than just a regular set?
I'll throw that to Bidge, my good friend Bidge on the drums over there.
Bidge, how come?
I think when we finished the tour for Not Your Kind of People, we discovered that we still have a fan base, and we were sort of excited to think about putting out a 20th deluxe anniversary edition, not so much for nostalgia, but just to actually celebrate that we'd been around for 20 years. And we really, that record really did change our lives in some ways. And
Well, we went back and started listening to the mastering, and it got us excited to go out and play these shows. And this is a small tour. We're only doing about 6 weeks or so. So it's going to be very selective. And I think for hardcore Garbage fans, it's going to be a real treat.
Are you playing them in order, or are you trying to figure out like what to play next and how they fit together and
we're
all that?
We're not sure.
What do you think we should do?
We're in discussion.
We're taking suggestions.
Rock,
at this
paper,
point.
Scissors?
I think that's kind of how we'll do it.
20 years since the album, you were together for about a year and a half before this first record came out. Has there ever been a low point in Garbage where you thought it might not continue?
Many times. But,
for reals?
Yeah, but not recently and not back then. I mean, we had a sort of crazy run for 3 records, you know. I mean, it was just all sort of joy and fun. Mm-hmm. And then probably somewhere around about 2001 when things got a bit hairy then, and then they went downhill fast. By about 2005, we'd had enough of each other for a bit. not actually because we had enough of each other, but just because the music business had changed so much, it was unpleasant for us to exist in as the kind of band we were and the kind of people we were in, that we were. So we sort of took a break.
That's really interesting. I mean, you know, we all love the music. We love music. We follow the music industry. But it's interesting to hear your perspective from inside that. So it just wasn't a fun job anymore after a while until you waited long enough where it was again.
Pretty much. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the way I remember it was our record company said, you know, alt rock's dead. And you need to do a pop record, and you need to work with a rapper that everybody knows. And we were like, well, you know, that's just not really our style.
That's what they said for real?
Totally.
That is pretty much what they said. And, I mean, I'm paraphrasing it because it was a long meeting and it was tense and there were long pauses and it would be so boring on radio to listen to.
Wow.
An exact replication of that conversation.
So you deprived us of a Young Jeezy remix is what you're saying. That could have happened if it hadn't been for you,
well,
Shirley.
Yeah, maybe so. But we felt it was really phony and wasn't really where we were coming from in a funny way. It just felt like too manufactured and I don't know.
Let me ask another question about the debut album that we're celebrating the 20th anniversary of. The song Queer, I'm trying to put myself back in the mindset of a guy in 1995 hearing that song on the radio for the first time. It seems to me that it would have really stood out as being something completely different than anything else anyone else was making at the time. Is that accurate?
I love that song.
Me too.
When we went back and remastered the first album, I think to all of us it has a odd sound to it. Mm-hmm. And part of that sound is from our using samplers, like almost 90% of the tracks at some point went through the samplers and either got cut up or chopped up or pasted around. And we were listening to hip-hop, so there's a bit of a hip-hop in some of the grooves on that. But it definitely is an odd-sounding album, and that track, Queer, is probably one of the most sort of unusual tracks compared to some of the more rock songs on the debut album.
And it was one of the first songs that Cheryl sang on, and she brought this persona to it that we worked around. We had this demo where we were doing our own, like, ridiculous, you know, own vocals on it. And Cheryl came and she gave it this persona. And that basically what guided us to.
And then the rest of you changed the music to fit her
singing?
Well,
a lot of it,
singing?
Yeah.
But also worked around her voice. What's special about that song is, you know, the lyrical content. At the time, you know, nobody. It's very fashionable now to do it, but back in 1995, it wasn't au courant at all to talk about the LGBT.
Hey, English only, Shirley. English only here on the Kevin Beach. All right?
Sorry.
No, Jesus. Enough German.
It wasn't fashionable to talk about the LGBT community in any way, shape or form. And so it was kind of bold to hear that on radio back then. I mean, it's almost inconceivable now that 20 years have passed, but...
Hey, knock on wood, you guys are still here and friends. We're still here and friends.
I know. I was thinking about that this morning.
We're
guys.
All so lucky to still be together. You
yeah,
know?
We are. Lucky. Yeah.
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell.
You guys, this is hot in here.
All right. We are going to take you down the hall to the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Have you seen it? It's a beautiful room, just a few feet from where we're sitting right now. And y'all are going to perform live for us, right?
Yep.
Allegedly.
I can't wait. The show is 1 week from tonight at the Greek Theater, the Garbage 20 Years Queer Tour. Let's give away a pair of tickets before we send the guys down to the Red Bull Sound Space for callers 20 and 21 right now at 1-800-520-1067. You win tickets to go see the band at the Greek. There may be just a couple of seats on the outside available. You can go to axs.com to see if there are still tickets available for sale, but you can call and win them right now from the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, Garbage performs live right after this on K-Rock.
We are back at K-Rock. It is the Red Bull Sound Space. We're here with our old friend, Garbage, who are going to perform live. Garbage!
Come on with the garbage!
What are we going to hear first?
I think we're going to do Only Happy When It Rains.
I'm only happy when it rains.
Still sounding so great. That is Garbage in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show. The 20th anniversary edition reissue of their debut album is going to be available in stores and for download tomorrow. They'll be playing The Greek 1 week from tonight. Go to AXS.com to see if there are still tickets left. And we'd love it if you guys could play one more for us.
No problem.
Fantastic. Live Garbage.
I'm
Garbage of the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ from the Red Bull Sound Space.
And again, that's too much sexy, you guys. That's too much sexy for this time of day. I'm sorry.
Too much sexy. Bean is really too much sexy. The show is again next Thursday, October 8th at the Greek Theater. There are still a few tickets available. That's ridiculous. So buy those and go see this band. It's a great place to see a band as well. You guys are always nice to K-Rock. We've known you all 20 years. And you've always been good to us, so thank you.
Thank you, guys.
How about garbage?
How about garbage? And here's a note, by the way. We are going to have a great performance in the Red Bull Sound Space of those songs, and we are going to have that up at krock.com this afternoon. You can actually watch the video if you want to see it as well. And whatever you do, don't miss going to see them at the Greek next Thursday night, for reals, because they are great live.
We also have something to give away, 1-800-520-1067. You get a digital download code for Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron. It's available now on digital HD, and it's available on Blu-ray tomorrow. So call now, 1-800-520-1067. Good luck. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:35.
All right, Ralph, go ahead and say it. I know you want to.
Go ahead and say it. I know
go
you
ahead.
Want to.
I know you love to make fun of me when I say dumb things on the air. Go ahead.
I say dumb things on the air. What's he talking about?
I don't know. Oh, you don't know.
What's he talking about?
I don't know. I've been getting an assful from the listeners when we were talking to Rush Limbaugh a little while ago.
Oh, about the Grand Canyon?
About the Grand Canyon.
How UFOs made the Grand Canyon?
I didn't say UFOs.
Aliens came down and made the Grand Canyon?
Well, I was thinking asteroids. There are a lot of craters around the world, some of them 100 miles wide, that were created by asteroids.
And you thought one really long asteroid came down?
Well, I thought the Grand Canyon. I thought that's how the Grand Canyon got started.
Really?
And then I did.
Honest to truly God?
Well, I was confused.
Did you have feelings? Did you have Grand Canyon feelings?
I knew that there was an element to what we're looking at when we see the Grand Canyon is the Colorado River going through that.
Right.
I knew that.
Right.
I mean,
but isn't that just it, basically?
I didn't think that was all of it. I thought there was already a divot, and then it just expanded and got larger over the millennia by the water rushing
through. I thought you were being funny.
I thought he was, too. I wasn't kidding.
I meant it, and I was stupid.
Science.
Yeah, and listeners, as you know, Ralph, they love to point out when you say something dumb, and I deserved it in this guy because I was confused. I mean, I think if I'd have sat and thought about it, I probably would have not thought asteroid, but for whatever reason, in the spur of the moment, I thought asteroid.
Yeah.
So I apologize. I apologize to you.
Go with it.
Science-based friends that contacted us.
Yeah.
All right.
Aliens did not create the Grand Canyon.
I didn't say aliens. I said asteroids.
I said asteroids.
Spacemen came down,
you said,
no,
and used
debris.
Their laser guns to carve the Grand Canyon. That's what you said. That's how
I am a dub-dub. All right, Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's going on?
Didn't you learn in like sixth grade that the Colorado River, erosion?
Oh, I remembered all the part about the river. I was mixed up on the rest
of it. All right, I'm serious now. You weren't joking?
I wasn't joking.
You could have played it off that you were.
Well,
That's awesome.
I don't like to lie. I'm embarrassed to admit it that that's what I said.
Kevin,
it's science.
Kevin thinks you're dumb.
I am dumb.
I don't think he's dumb. I think that was dumb.
I think we're on a roll. We got Cuba, first of all. How all the tourists are going to bring the disease to the domed city of Havana. And now we've got the space aliens created the Grand Canyon.
I didn't say that.
We're entering a golden era that I gotta say I am all for. And I'm happy to be a witness to.
I'm happy to have
Someday,
company.
My grandchildren will ask me, tell me about when Bean went mad. And I'll say, oh, at first it started with Cuba. And then he thought aliens created the Grand Canyon. And then the next thing you know, he was running around naked with tissue boxes for slippers. And
look, I told you guys a few weeks ago that I was very seriously concerned about the study that Alzheimer's could be transmitted via the air. Because I feel like Kevin has it. He's well on his way.
I feel like
I caught it from him, and now I'm also in the decline. I feel like I'm Kevining at this point.
It always comes back to me, doesn't it?
Yeah, I didn't think that was nice.
That's sort of sucky.
That's unfair.
Hasn't
buddy.
Happened to Ralph?
Nope.
Hasn't happened to Al?
What? Well, I mean, that's...
I think maybe that package was delivered damaged. I'm not sure.
I'm right here. I can hear you.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about a package.
Oh.
I think in transit there was some damage to the package and it arrived on our doorstep dinged up.
By an asteroid.
by aliens.
Possibly,
space,
yes.
Space debris.
You don't know, man. You were like Rush Limbaugh said, man. You don't know. You weren't
See,
there.
See, I thought maybe you were trying to co-sign with Rush on his crazy. You're riding his crazy coattails. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
He meant
I'm
it.
I'm just as crazy
That's
as he
awesome.
Is.
Awesome. All right. Let me give you something for having listened to that for the past 10 minutes. How about tickets to see Bill Burr?
Yay!
One of the best comedians working today, bar none. He is going to do two shows at the Orpheum Theater on December the 31st. That's New Year's Eve, don't you know? An early show and a late show. I'm going to give two lucky Kevin and Bean listeners a pair of tickets to see Bill Burr perform on New Year's Eve at the Orpheum. Why don't you give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two people who call that phone number who can tell you how the Grand Canyon was formed, Firma.
Are we going with science or Bean?
They will get a pair of tickets need to, clarify. To see Bill Burr. And if you don't get through, you're not lucky enough to win, you can go to Ticketmaster.com. I believe tickets go on sale. Once again, I am given shaky information here. I believe it's tomorrow
at 4:20 in the afternoon.
I don't know what time it is, but I think Ticketmaster.com tomorrow will have your tickets for Bill Burr if you want to check it out. Really could use that information. They gave me two sheets here, but they got nothing.
Just says Friday. That's all it says, just Friday.
I got nothing. I got nothing. I don't even have Friday. I don't have that. So, Bean saying it, so take it for what it's worth. Take it with a grain of salt, because he might think aliens are selling the tickets.
It's true.
Who knows? This is an interesting list. You know, Ranker.com. It's a website.
I love it so much.
It's a website full of lists and people ranking things in order of favorites. And I thought this was a pretty interesting one, was brought to my attention. Top 10 sexiest female movie characters of all time. Sexiest.
So not the actresses, but the
not
characters.
Not the actresses, but the characters.
Well, Laura Croft comes immediately to mind for me.
11th on the list. Did not crack the top 10.
Jessica Rabbit.
Jessica Rabbit, not she's not a person.
Oh.
I know the Muppets now are dating, Allie, yeah, and I know true. Jessica Rabbit is a very sexy lady, but we're dealing with the real world right now.
Okay.
These are live-action movie characters, sexiest of all time, according to this list on Ranker.com.
How about Black Widow?
Black Widow, number one!
Whoa!
Number one, according to this list, as the sexiest female movie character ever. Scarlett Johansson, of course, in the Avengers films, Black Widow. How about that? Number one. Hardly seems worth doing the rest of the list.
Yeah.
Does it. You want to take a shot?
Since Bean has it in front of him, he might as well just read it.
Right. I don't. I just started thinking, who's the hottest actress, Scarlett Johansson? Okay. What character has she played? Right. Black Widow.
All right, so. Bean Belichick, why don't you just tell us the rest of the answers while you're cheating?
Guys, it was a guess. It was a legitimate guess. All right, hottest female. How about Sharon Stone's Basic Instinct character?
See, now I thought that for sure would be in the top 10, and not here. Not in the top 10.
Really?
I think it's floating down there in the mid-teens somewhere, but not in the top 10.
That was a very sexy character.
I was
sorely
disappointed.
How about Jennifer Lopez's character from that awesome movie she did with George Clooney?
Out of Sight?
Out of Sight. Very sexy character.
Not in the list.
Stifler's mom.
Stop it. Just, would you please?
Okay.
Stifler's mom. You think there may be 9 sexier movie characters than Stifler's 45-year-old mom? You think maybe?
All right. Apparently, we're no good at this, Ralph.
All right. I'm going to give you the top 10. Tina Carlisle. That was the character where we first discovered Cameron Diaz in The Mask. Remember her in Mask, the Jim Carrey movie?
She was cute.
10th on the list.
Okay.
In Black Swan, Mila Kunis played a sexy ballerina named Lily in Black Swan.
Yes,
remember
she
that
did.
Character?
Yes, I do.
She was very erotic and bisexual and all over the place. She was the Black Swan.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the Underworld franchise, Kate Beckinsale plays a character named Celine. She is 8th on the list.
Yeah, that's a hot character.
But all of these actresses that you're naming are just as hot when they're not playing those characters.
Look, he didn't make up the list. He's just presenting it.
I'm sorry. Estelle Getty isn't on the list from Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
What the hell?
All right.
Just accept the list.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you guys remember where you were when you first saw Weird Science? Remember that film?
Oh, sure.
Remember Lisa, Kelly LeBrock, the sexy creature they create
in
their bedroom? Boy, I remember that moment distinctly, as does my pants.
Okay.
Those pants had to be thrown out.
All right.
Burned that night.
Next on the list is
the girl next door, Alicia Cuthbert. She plays the porn star. Next door, Danielle is her name in that movie. She's number six on the list. Number five, this is an all-timer. This is a classic. I'm surprised no one thought of this. Linda Barrett is the name of the character. Phoebe Cates in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, coming out of the pool in that red bikini. Sure. Yeah.
Jessica Alba is the stripper Nancy Callahan in Sin City. Remember Sin City? Yeah. She was stripping. Salma Hayek in From Dusk Till Dawn. Santanico Pandemonium was her name. She was the high priestess of Satan, and she's a stripper with that snake around her in that bikini with that body.
That's not a snake? Really?
And number two, finally on the list, Michaela Baines, Megan Fox's character in Transformers, the first two Transformer films. That's where we first fell in love with her.
All right.
So there's your list.
So no Jessica Rabbit then?
You know who didn't make the list? Jessica Rabbit did not make the list.
That's weird.
Nor did Honey Boo Boo, for that matter. Honey Boo Boo didn't make the list.
How is that possible?
That's what I'm saying, because they must not. This list must have been made before they caught her new music video that just dropped this morning. Honey Boo Boo has teamed up with evil musician Adam Barta, the man who's given us the Octomom song, the Tan Mom song, and the Jonah Falcon I've Got a Big Penis song.
Boy, he does bad work.
Remember that Jonah Falcon song?
Man.
It's too big. It's too big for you. I can't remember exactly how it went, but it wasn't good. The new Honey Boo Boo video released today. The new song's called Moving Up. It's her new single. And I got to tell you, it is unbearable. On almost every level.
You know how a lot of times Ralph asks for a clip and then we play something else that's terrible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's way worse.
We
it's
can't
not
find anything.
It's not possible to find something worse.
So here's the real deal. Here's Moving Up by Honey Boo Boo.
I'm just a small town girl, living in my princess world. When rainy days give me the blues, I break out my dancing shoes. Started out as a pageant queen, then on TV doing my thing.
Does she have to yell at us? What's happening?
Yes.
Why is it so bad? Does she not have a microphone?
Now moving up in the world. New house, fun town, look like girls. I'm hanging in the front yard and everybody be like,
hey, Alana, what chicken?
Drunk, rapping, playing, causing. When I'm riding my bike.
Honey, boo-boo, where you going?
I love my mama, too.
Is that? That's the dude? That's the guy dude. The rapper?
That's Adam Barta, who's doing a little cameo.
Can you guys imagine hearing this and not asking for another different, better take? Like, how do you hear this and go, all right, nailed it, done.
Okay. One hit wonder.
I got more.
No, I think we're good. I think we get the feeling. Adam, giving you more.
Don't forget your sweet pumpkin, too.
Had to make some music, so we came up with this little tune. Moving on.
That guy needs to die.
Come on. No love for Adam Barta.
Holy crap.
More details about this Grease Live. We talked about it yesterday. Fox's upcoming Grease Live production happening on Sunday, January the 31st. Carly Rae Jepsen has joined the cast as Frenchie of the Pink Ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Kether Donahue from the comedy series You're the Worst.
Who does Kether Donahue play? Is that the best friend?
She's the best friend and You're the Worst.
Oh, yes. she's very talented.
Very funny.
Funny.
She's playing Jan of the Pink Ladies. She's joining the cast. And David Del Rio, Spare Parts. You know the show Spare Parts?
Love it.
He'll be Putzy in the production. Now, they're adding some additional star power. The telecast opens up with the song Grease. Grease is the word. Remember that from the movie Frankie Valli?
Scott Cruz meaning.
Sang it in the.
If you're going to sing it, commit.
I'm just saying.
Sing it under your breath.
Nope. Here's Ally McKay to let you know what that sounded like.
You suck.
No
fun.
Anyway, Jessie J will be singing the live telecast. She's going to sing that theme live.
So, I like that.
She's got a hell of a voice.
Yeah.
She does. She's going to come out. Boom!
Excellent.
Just like Ally McKay's voice. Just
right.
Be powerful
in
and
there.
Exciting. Yeah. Allie seems like she should be rocking back and forth, hitting her head against a wall in a sane
You've
asylum
seen my
somewhere.
Work.
And there's been rumors. Principal McGee, the female principal from the Rydell High,
mm-hmm.
Olivia Newton-John.
Oh, wouldn't that be something?
Reunion. And Coach Calhoun, the phys ed teacher.
Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick.
Martin Short, they're saying, could be Coach Calhoun.
That's no awesome. Way.
Could I be more excited? I don't think so, I must say. Is he the best? I think so. If I met him, well, I'd go completely mental.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brie Larson's 26 years old today. Zach Galifianakis is 46. Isai Morales, 53 today. And Randy Quaid, the crazy actor, 65 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we got the movie beat because it is Friday. We're going to talk to RJ Bell also because it's Friday.
Because he's RJ Bell! RJ Bell!
See, he didn't do that under his
breath. That's how you sing. That's how you sing.
He didn't do that. He brought it. He stood up and he sang it.
You're in or you're out.
The host of The Amazing Race, Phil Kogan, will join us in studio.
That's Floyd, brother.
Nope. That's Hulk Hogan.
That's Hulk. Internet Roundup tomorrow. We've got a brand new one for you. And boxing legend Oscar De La Hoya joins us tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.